the Rise Up See Red podcast, all about the Arizona Cardinals and the NFL, featuring insider and outsider perspectives. Enjoy the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Now here are your hosts, Jess Root and Seth Cox.
Hello, Arizona Cardinals fans, and welcome to the latest edition of the Rise Up See Red podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. This is episode 357. It's the schedule show. The Cardinals had their schedule released, and we're here to talk about it. I'm your host, Jess Root from CardsWire.com, the USA Today NFL wire site covering the Arizona Cardinals. On the line with me, recording on a Tuesday night, is Seth Cox from RevengeOfTheBirds.com. The Arizona Cardinals side from SB Nation, and also one of the hosts of the original Draft Breakdown podcast, Seth. It's been a couple of weeks, but, you know, how are things as we wrap up the end of May, and we're almost to OTAs, so we're almost to the football work of things. They're in phase two right now. They're doing positional drills, but we'll actually get some actual practice starting next week, right?
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to that because I don't want to deal with any more Arizona Cardinals, but Kyler Murray drama. Right? But, you know, it's been going well. It's an odd time of season because you've got rookie minicamp and you already had people like, where's Kyler? And it's like, did you not see the first word rookie minicamp? Like,
oh geez,
like there's a reason why. You know, and you just look at it, you've got an interesting rookie group because, you know, it was a lot of day two and day three picks. They only signed 12 undrafted free agents. Remember the days when they'd have like 24? Like,
yeah. Yeah, well, in last year, remember last year, I think it was only four. And,
yeah,
and that was, they had filled their roster with guys that they had scouted like the last 2 years before that.
Right. And so, you know, this year it's getting a little closer. They've already changed out six of those poor undrafted free agents. They're like, all right, you didn't do what we needed.
Yeah. The number of tryout players who made the roster out of rookie camp, that was, I think that's unprecedented. I think the most that they've had is two or three in previous years.
Yeah, and so you look at it, it's a lot of minutia, but it's also interesting to get to know these guys, even if they're only gonna, like, you know, six of the undrafted free agents, to go and look at them and like read about them and learn about them a little bit, and you know their dream of making it to the NFL, and to see if they can you know accomplish it and kind of, in a small way, be along for the journey. And so, you know, we've done that. And now, you know, like you said, it's getting into phase two where there'll be some voluntary workouts before mandatory workouts start. And that's when, I guess, the drama's going to start, right?
It sounds like it. But what we're going to focus on in this edition of the show is the Cardinals schedule, because it was last week when the full schedule was released. We're going to run down the schedule, talk about the primetime games, what surprised us, what are the best and the worst parts of the schedule. We're going to look at those six games that they're not going to have DeAndre Hopkins. Is it a bad setup? Is it a good setup? And then we'll actually make our game-by-game predictions. I'm not a fan of doing that per se, but we'll go ahead and do that and see what our kind of expectations are. So let's go ahead and get started by just running down the schedule. So what we learned from the schedule is that we knew they were going to play in Mexico City. There's something we always know, is that week 17 is always a road game. I don't know.
As long as the Fiesta Bowl stays at State Farm Stadium.
Yeah. So at week 17 is always a road game. And we knew that they would, and there were a couple of them. So it was a matter of how many primetime games. They get four primetime games. They get two Monday night games. They get a Sunday night game on Christmas, second year in a row. And, of course, everyone gets a Thursday night game. Their schedule starts off week one at home, Kansas City Chiefs, Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Cliff Kingsbury. Fun.
What a fun way to start,
man. My goodness, yes. Week two, they're on the road to face the Las Vegas Raiders. That will be the Chandler Jones revenge game. Week three, they return home to take on the LA Rams. So they get a division game early. The first three games of the season are against previous year's teams, playoff teams. But it's also bad. Week four, they're on the road to play the Carolina Panthers, whom they haven't beaten since, I believe, 2013. Then they come home. So it's alternating they alternate home and road for the first 11 weeks of the season. It's after week four, they're on the road, Carolina. They return home to play at home against the Philadelphia Eagles. They go on the road in week six. They take on the Seattle Seahawks. And then week seven, they're at home. That'll be the return of DeAndre Hopkins. And they will be at home on Thursday night against the Saints. After the mini bye in week eight, they will take on the Minnesota Vikings on the road, return home in week nine to take on the Seahawks for the second and final time of the regular season, and likely the entire season, because the Seahawks aren't making the playoffs with Drew Lock as their quarterback or Geno Smith. We know this. Then they go on the road. So we've got two division games in a row. On the road, they will, after facing Seattle at home, they go on the road to face the Rams. The three division games in a row, because they'll face the Seahawks in week nine, the Rams in week 10, and then Monday Night Football in week 11 is the 49ers in Mexico City, but that's technically a home game. Then they are at home against the Los Angeles Chargers. Week 13, they get a bye, and then they are at home. They have an extra long bye because they will play Monday night and coming out of the bye against the Patriots at home. They travel to Denver to play the Broncos and Russell Wilson. Christmas night, Tom Brady and the Buccaneers come to town. They are on the road for the final two games of the season, week 17 at Atlanta and week 18 at San Francisco or in Santa Clara. Four primetime games. You got the two Monday night games. You got the Sunday night game. And you got the Thursday night game. Did that exceed your expectations in terms of national television?
A little bit. I mean, we knew they were going to get two. Every team gets that Thursday night game, and then
the Mexico game was a given. We already knew that.
We already knew the Mexico City game was going to be on national TV. So to come back and get two more national games late in the season, and to get another Christmas Day game or night game, I guess, technically, yeah, that was a little surprising. I'm not going to lie. I didn't expect this. But the NFL is very intelligent. You look at things in this way. First off, you look at the fact that they got all of their national TV games after week six. Mm-hmm. So DeAndre Hopkins will be available, likely. They got all of their national TV games at home.
Which was a problem last year because they couldn't win at home, it seemed. But
yeah, but that's the thing. Is like when you look at it from 95% of the NFL, getting national TV home games is a boon.
Yes.
So expectation-wise, you would expect that the Cardinals play better this year. Right, because they can't play as poorly at home as they did last year, comparatively speaking. So, you know, it was interesting that they received four. And then they have, of course, that open date, basically the last game of the season against the Niners. Because
that's almost the Sunday night game. Let's be honest. We know it's going to be the Cowboys and somebody probably.
Yeah,
it's unless, what it is pretty much every year.
Well, yeah, unless the Cardinals are and 49ers are fighting for
that's true.
The last wild card spot, or potentially, you know, something happens with the Rams, the division. So, you know, they like to do that with the last week games because they love division rivalries the last week of the season. But yeah, I mean, it's super interesting to see them come off of an 11-6 year where most, I would say, at least 50% of fans are down on this team.
Yeah. And if you look at it nationally as well, in terms of betting odds, that it's not super optimistic. That they are a middling team. I think it was that, Well, I guess they're still considered a playoff team, but
I mean, say they're considered like the seven seed. They're considered the last, you know, wild card team in the NFC.
And that's reasonable.
It is. I mean, you have to look at things. One, knowing that you're going to be without an all-pro wide receiver for six games.
Okay. And they lost Chandler Jones.
Yeah. And so that's the thing. There's uncertainty surrounding a lot of things. So it's not unreasonable for any of that. But the NFL sees what they have in Kyler Murray. And they see that they have stars in Hopkins and Watt, and they like what the opportunity brings that the Cardinals should be able to bring. You know, even if fans are very loudly discouraged about the end of the season.
And the one thing that's actually surprising is that the Thursday night game is the one that has the least little bit of pizzazz to it, because you've got a kind of a restarting Saints team against there's no natural connection. Like, you get the Patriots, so you've got Cliff Kingsbury and Bill Belichick, so there's some kind of a reunion there. And then you've got the Buccaneers with, you know, Cliff Kingsbury and Tom Brady. The two of them are close. So there's even some little storylines with all the primetime games that they have, except the Saints game. And even that one, that will mark the first time that Tyrann Mathieu returns to State Farm Stadium in a regular season game to face the team that drafted him and cut him, and a team that he dislikes quite a bit now.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see where they how they end up and how good those games are, because this is, you know, this is an opportunity that is not afforded the Arizona Cardinals very often. Let's just be honest. Four primetime games out of the gate is not normal for this franchise.
Especially with the fallout from how things ended. So clearly, and this is maybe something that fans need to realize here, the league still views them as a contending, intriguing team. Otherwise, they would not have planned that many. They would have done with, you know, the two primetime games, which is kind of what the treatment that we got last year. Everyone gets a Thursday night game and then something else. And we knew that the Cardinals were going to play in Mexico, so two or three. And you know, I saw people kind of throwing, what, Sunday night or primetime games, 3.5. I figured it would probably be three. Four was a surprise, honestly.
Yeah, it really was. And so it just, I do think that there is still an excitement and an expectation nationally that this is a playoff bound team.
Yeah, absolutely. Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, Spencer of Cardinals Talk on the Web, we're going to continue talking about the schedule. More importantly, the best parts and the worst parts of the schedule. That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the Pistar Cardinals Talk on the Web. And, you know, we've discussed the primetime games, but in your opinion, what are the best parts and worst parts of the schedule? I actually have a kind of a mixed bag about the end of the season, because they play their final two on the road and three of their last four on the road, which makes it in one of those games, you know, middle of December in Denver. Those could be ugly conditions. You know, cold, icy snow is always a possibility. That said, if you look at it from the bigger picture of the type of team we expect the Cardinals to be, which is a playoff contending team that's probably not going to win the division. They could, but I think everyone is going to expect the Saints, not the Saints, but the Rams to continue to be the favorite. And if the Cardinals are going to be a wild card team, what is the thing that they're going to have to do throughout the postseason? Play on the road, play meaningful games on the road. And so for the final 4 weeks of the year, they're playing meaningful games on the road, and they're posting a Super Bowl contender. So I do like how the schedule lines up because you have important games, all the division games. You have a winnable road game against the Falcons. You have a playoff preview against the Patriots. And then you have your nemesis in Russell Wilson, who always wins at State Farm Stadium.
Yeah, and I look at this schedule, and I think that, you know, again, you look at it, obviously everybody's going to key on the first six games with DeAndre Hopkins, and I do understand the hesitation and the concern, but really how I look at it is coming off that Thursday night game. So Hopkins is back. You get that Thursday night game. You get the mini bye, and as you said, all of a sudden it becomes a really important five game stretch. You go to Minnesota. Minnesota's got a new head coach. There's going to be some question marks up there, right? Then you host the now Russell Wilson-less Seattle Seahawks. You have to look at that as a must-win game. All things considered, you have to look at that as a must-win game.
If you listen to the show, if y'all listen to the show, division home games are must-win games, typically, even no matter who's quarterbacking for the opponent.
Right. Right. And then you get a three-game stretch where you're talking about going to L.A., your last game against the Rams that season. Then you're in Mexico City to take on the 49ers, and then you come back and you have to take on the Justin Herbert-led Los Angeles Chargers. So that is the stretch of games I think is going to define the season, because you look at the first seven games, and we'll talk about this, obviously, but you can see a path of 3 to 5 wins in seven games, you know, and I like to say, like, you usually have a two-game swing. So I would say, you know, it's probably 4 games that you're looking at that you're like, hey, this is, you know, they can be 4-3, you know, 5-2, maybe at worst 3-4. But that 5 games right after that are huge, because if you're, you know, if you come back on the mini bye, your first after having Hopkins his first week back, you can't expect him because he won't be practicing. You can't expect him to give you what he gave you in game one last year, which was what, 15 receptions or something insane like that. So, you know, maybe he comes out a little slower, but that second week you go to Minnesota, that's a huge game. Then, like I said, the Seahawks look on paper like the worst team in the NFL, right? Or in the NFC, in the NFC West.
Definitely the NFC West.
And so that is a game. And like Jess said, every division game is a must win, but that's the one that you look at and you say, you have to win this game. Okay. It's you have to win that game because the next three are brutal. And so you look at that 5-game stretch, and that's really where I see like the make or break of the season. And people are going to say, oh, late season stretch, or, you know, late season die out again. But realistically, what it is you get a 5-game stretch in there where if you're at, let's say they start off well and they are at 5-2, you give yourself some wiggle room where you can go 3-2 and all of a sudden you're 8-4 with 5 games left. And then you just need to win, you know, 2 games to make the playoffs. If you're at 3-4.
Then you've got to turn things around in a hurry.
Right, then you're going into a stretch where it's a there's 4 really difficult games, and you got to turn things around. You know, so all of that is how I would like break that 5-week stretch down, because I think that's going to end up being the most important 5-week stretch in the season, because it's going to define where you are heading into what you said is honestly the most brutal part of their schedule, right? Like that's what you define after that bye week as you know, the grind or the really tough stretch, which it is going to be made even more difficult if you're talking about a team that maybe is only, you know, 5-7 at that point, right?
Yeah, like yeah, and but it after the bye, it sets them up to be playoff ready. So you kind of get to see the type of team that they are, which, you know, as we, the last couple of years has been disappointing, but you know, if they're going to be the team they hope they that stretch is going to be tough, but also necessary.
Yeah, and it's important, like you said. Like, they are going to have to come out and play at a high level. And they're going to have to show that, like you said, they're a team that can compete every week. And that's one of the things. If they're going to be a team that's competing for the playoffs and they're a team that we want to see in the playoffs, that will be where it starts.
Coming up next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best art Cardinals talk on the web. Let's talk about that first six games. Could it have gone better? Is it a good stretch? Is it a bad stretch? That's coming up next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best art Cardinals talk on the web. And we know that now that DeAndre Hopkins got suspended, he's going to miss the first six games of the season. There are a couple of things, like, you can look at it a couple of different ways. Now, the truth of the matter is, the schedule is what the schedule is. They do start the season with three teams that were in the playoffs a year ago. Opening with the Chiefs, then the Raiders, then the Rams. Those aren't easy, but if you look at the whole of it, you know, you've mentioned it in our group texts, is that it actually plays out pretty well for them. If you look at those first six games, two of them should be quite winnable, even without, like, you know, granted, they're both road games, but the Seahawks game should be winnable, even without DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, they beat the Seahawks on the road with Colt McCoy at quarterback a year ago, and that was when Russell Wilson was quarterback. And you've got the Panthers on the road. Now, we know that the Panthers, for some reason, have some curse over the Cardinals. They haven't beat them since 2013, when Darrell Washington came back from a suspension, and they harassed, he and Carlos Dansby harassed, you know, Cam Newton in 2013. That's the last time. That's the last time that they beat them. The Panthers have beaten twice in the playoffs. It's been a bloodbath. The Panthers aren't expected to be any good this year.
No.
I mean, they're rolling with Sam Darnold, a quarterback. And if it's not going to be him, Matt Corral?
To be fair, I did see some Cardinals fans that suggested the Cardinals trade Kyler Murray for a package that included Sam Darnold. So
what do they think? We're the Seahawks?
Yes.
Why would you do that?
To your point, yeah, I mean, that's, you look at it, the first six
and
games,
the Eagles, like, what are the Eagles going to be? Cause they're a team that is potentially all right, but also Jalen Hurts is a nice quarterback, but he's not a great quarterback. And the Chiefs, you have the entire offseason to prepare for them. They no longer have Tyreek Hill. The Raiders have a new coaching staff, and so even though they loaded up on defense, that defense will not have gelled. Rams is a tough game. There's no way around that.
Yeah, and you look at it, I mean, like you said, that first game, that has similar to Tennessee written all over, where the Cardinals,
it's the tone setter.
Yeah, and their ability to game plan over the offseason, win a one game where they're the team with a little more camaraderie. I mean, remember, even though Marquise Brown is coming in as the new number one receiver, he's played with Kyler. He's familiar with Cliff's offense. So it's not like it's a brand new situation.
No, that's actually super, super intriguing. And so, I mean, the Cardinals didn't have many cupcakes on their schedule anyway. If you look at the schedule and who they face, the ones that are considered the quote unquote easy games, you've got Carolina, they're the easiest on paper. You've got the two Seattle games, you've got Carolina, and honestly, after that, it's maybe the Falcons. So four games where you're like, and they weren't going to have both Seattle games in the first 6 weeks, and they weren't just going to load up on, it's just not how it was going to work. So I don't know. Like, would you have liked to not face three playoff teams in a row to start this season? I don't know. I mean, it's a good thing. It's a good thing if they start well. It's disastrous if they end up 0-3.
Yeah, and I can see them going 1-2. I can see them going 2-1. I can see them going 3-0. I have a hard time seeing this team starting 0-3 sans a Murray injury heading into the season. So, you know, I look at that first six games without DeAndre, and I really do see a team that should be 4-2 at worst. And I know people are going to be like, well, you think they're going to beat the Chiefs and the Raiders and the Rams? I don't know. I could see them losing two of those three and then winning, you know, winning three other ones. I think people get a little too excited about moves and things. And I think people read too much into, oh, well, the Cardinals haven't beat the Panthers in 29 seasons or whatever.
It's uncanny. It is.
It is. But
they're like, not related. It's just right. They're completely unrelated.
Right. It's just kind of a fluky thing that's happened. And so, yeah, I mean, yeah, it sucks. And you would expect them to hopefully rally and play better. But at the same time, they need to, you know, they need to take care of business and things. And I'm really baffled by the negativity that they can't beat the Eagles. Like, I don't know. I mean, Jordan Davis is really good. And I think he's going to be a good ball player. But, like, are the additions of Hassan Reddick and Jordan Davis, like, that much to improve a team that couldn't stop a nose, you know, a runny nose last year? Like, I'm not saying that they're not a good team, and they may be a playoff team again. They might be. But I don't think there's another quarterback in the NFL outside of Tua Tagovailoa that has as much pressure on them as Jalen Hurts heading into this season.
Right, and Philly is not the place to be if you're a quarterback with pressure on him. It's just
right.
It's just an interesting place.
It's going to be tough, and I think people look at it and go, well, they got A.J. Brown, so they're going to be so much better. And it's like, maybe A.J. Brown unlocks some things for Jalen Hurts, but Hurts still isn't a greatly accurate quarterback. You know, he's still a guy that at times looks replaceable. And so, you know, I think he's good. But and he made steps from year one to year two, so I don't think we can take that away from him at all. But, like, he's still not a guy when you're talking about, you know, 16 touchdowns to 9 interceptions in 15 games that strikes fear into me yet. And that's not to say that he won't develop into that. It's just he has not at this time developed into that where I'm like, oh, man, this is a guy that, you know, like when you look at the schedule and you go, all right, they got to take on Mahomes and Stafford. And then you kind of go and you're like, okay, you know, obviously they got Herbert. And then you're like, they got that new Russell Wilson team. And then they got Tom Brady. And then, of course, you have the San Francisco games, which are just always tough games. I mean, the Cardinals, it seems like every other year one team has the other's number, you know, and so we'll see how it goes. But, like, I don't look at the schedule and go, oh, I can't believe they got the Eagles in week 5 at home. I look at it and go, okay, good, Eagles week 5. Like, I feel like that week 4, 5, and 6 is a very winnable. And throw in week 7. I feel like those – 4 games are very winnable to the point where even if you started 1-2, you could be 5-2 heading into that Minnesota game, which, so, by the way, I also think is very winnable.
Coming next on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, OSR Cardinals talk on the web, we will start with our game by game predictions. Where do we end up and how do we get there? That's coming next on Rise Up Sea Red. We're back on the Rise Up Sea Red podcast, the best of our Cardinals talk on the web. I kind of actively dislike doing this every year, but it is something obligatory. And I like to look at predictions in terms of blocks of types of games. Like, how do I think that, rather than trying to predict each individual games, I look, okay, how are they going to do in the division? How are they going to do against the AFC West? How are they going to do in these games? Which is a game, because almost every year with every team, they win it. There's teams almost always win a game they shouldn't and lose a game that they shouldn't as well. So what's likely going to happen? So, but let's for all these purposes, how do we see this going? Week one against the Chiefs. Do you see the Cardinals winning that game? Do you see them going 0-1 or 1-0?
I've been really back and forth on this, and it's so easy to predict losses in this. And I think, if I don't remember, did I predict a win or did you predict a win? One of us predicted a win in Tennessee.
I did not.
I think I did last year. And I'm going to stay with that, like, confidence that they seem to do a good job heading into the season with this staff and with this group. And I'm going to predict a win for the Cardinals.
I'm back and forth on this one, but
I'm with you though. This is the toughest one for me early.
Okay. Yes. Cardinals get the win against the interesting is Patrick Mahomes has never lost a season opener. The Cardinals also have not lost a season opener with Cliff Kingsbury, because the other they're 2-0-1 there. They're 2-0-1 in 3 years.
All right. So what Justin and I are saying is bet your house on a tie for this game.
You know, as weird as this, and you know, I've lived through a couple of ties at State Farm Stadium. They're weird. They feel weird.
It just feels unfinished. You're like, okay, well, this is a great game, guys.
It just
we'll talk to you
feels
later.
Weird. Yeah. So, yes. So let's go. They're 1-0 in Las Vegas. If I were going to say that they were going to split these two games, I think they beat the Raiders, but I'm going to predict that they beat the Raiders because, yes, they've got the offensive weapons. They have a defense that looks incredibly formidable. The problem is they have a new coaching staff, and so that defense will not quite be exactly what it's going to be. So facing the Raiders early in the year, I think, is advantageous, and I'm going to say that they're going to be 2-0 to start the year.
See, now I want to take back, and I want you sold me on beating the Raiders. Now, I think this is the game they lose, and so, but that's the thing is like it, like you said, this is such a tricky thing because it's really easy to be like the Cardinals got worse, harumph, and be like they're not going to beat the Raiders, you know, and then you just make all those points like new staff, Chandler Jones is older.
Chandler Jones revenge game, but
right, they're still going to.
Chandler Jones had 5.5 sacks in the last 16 games of the year.
Right, and so you're just looking at it, and you're like, "This is a game that on the paper of like, well, you know, all of this stuff, yeah, it looks like a loss, but it, you know, when you break it down, I think the camaraderie and the continuance for the Cardinals has a really good chance to win out. All that being said, I'm going to pick a loss in this one, but you did sell me. I'm not going to lie. You made me want to change my vote.
Well, I was having a wrong week one.
I shouldn't have done this early. I should have just let you sway me each one.
I think week three, even though they're playing at home, I think this is an L for the Cardinals against the Rams, and it's going to stink because we want to be able to beat the Rams at home, but it's not going to happen. So I've got them at 2-1 to start off the year.
And I actually am very confident that they can win this game. So that's, I think for me, that's why I go with 2-1, because I think I'm maybe overly confident that they can beat the Rams, even though the Rams are the best team in the NFL. I mean, going into the season, there's not a better team heading into the season than the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah. Yep. Crazy. So 2-1 for me, 2-1 for you. We go into Carolina. They should be. Not, they need to win that game.
And I'm not betting against them. Like, I get that it's stupid because they can't beat them, but
they've got they've got to win that game.
They're gonna win that.
3-1 3-1
Yes.
The Eagles. That's a tricky one. In the way I'm trending right now, they're going to start off 5-1 So I'm going to say that they're going to lose this game. They're going to lose this game. So they're going to it's going to look like kind of like last home. So they're going to start the year 1-2 at home, and I'm going to say that they take a tough loss against the Eagles in week 5.
I'm going to have them start out at Oh, I think this game is a win. I should have. I'm gonna take back my first one and say they lose to the Chiefs, and then they go on a 3-game win streak. Because I'm with you. I don't think that they start 5-4-1 I know we're getting ahead of ourselves already picking them to beat the Seahawks, but I have a hard time picking a loss somewhere there.
Right, right. And Seattle, and this is this. I'm letting you know that. I predict the Cardinals will beat the Seahawks both times this year, and especially if we're looking at as I look at the division, I'm expecting the Cardinals to go at least 4-2 and the team that they're going to sweep is the Seahawks because they're not going to be good. Now, I wrote for Sportsbook Wire. I just wrote their season preview, and I have them so their win loss total is set at 5.5 I have them. I'd say take the over on that because I still think that they're a tough team. I just think that they will be no match for the division.
Yeah, I just think they're going to be bad. So, I've got the what does that make us 4-2
4-2
each. Yeah, and then I think that Hopkins game back is going
to
be
so. Let's stop. Let's kind of do the rest of the season after we come back. Coming up from the Rise of Sierra podcast, the best of Cardinals talk on the web. We've broken down the first 6 games. We think the Cardinals can be 4-2 but let's talk about the rest of the season after that. That's coming next on Rise of Sierra. We're back on the Rise of Sea Red podcast, best of Cardinals talk on the web. Thursday night football against the New Orleans Saints. Tyrann Mathieu revenge game, even though it's been years. First time he's been back in the stadium for a regular season game.
If you don't think he's going to remember and talk about it for 2 weeks heading in, I don't even know the Saints schedule, but he's going to talk about it for 2 weeks.
But this is the return of DeAndre Hopkins on a short week at home. But hey, the Cardinals can beat Jameis Winston. They've done it before.
Is he going to be healthy?
That's the other question. That is the other question. But yeah, I think they win that game. I think the Saints are kind of in an interesting place, but I think the Cardinals improved to 5-2
I'm just going through their depth chart. I don't know a lot of these players. This is interesting. I mean, they added Jarvis Landry. You have to assume Michael Thomas will be better.
And Chris Olave. They get Chris Olave.
And Trevor Penning. I mean.
Though Penning, no.
I don't think he's going to be good, but that's me. I mean, I think.
You're not the only one. There's a lot of. Because it wasn't the way you guys described it on the other podcast is that he was his kind of he was flashy after the whistle.
Right. He's a guy like that just seems to.
He was unnecessarily.
Yeah. Physical to like try to make it seem like more.
Yeah. It was kind of selling himself for draft stock.
Right, exactly. And, you know, so I look at it, I think that's a win as well.
Minnesota, that's a tough place to play.
I think you got to drop another game here. I don't see this being I go back and forth. They still have some flaws. I don't think Minnesota is going to be any good, but
they're not going to win every game. The way because we got Seattle after that. And like the way things are looking, if I don't have them losing to the Vikings, they're gonna be 8-2.
And I don't Why think... not?
Well, and the thing is in my mind, they're 11-win team. Then they're falling apart down the stretch again.
So yeah, I'm trying to
not do that. But
this is the Jordan Hicks revenge game. Remember?
It is indeed. But you've also got the Jeff Gladney factor as well, and Nick Vigil. So you've got Jordan Hicks and Patrick Peterson on that side, even though Pat's already played the Cardinals, and you've got Jeff Gladney for the Cardinals and Nick Vigil, who are the former Vikings. But no,
what is this offensive line that they have? Christian Darrisaw, Ezra Cleveland. They drafted Ed Ingram. I don't know. This is odd. I can't believe I'm going to pick them to lose to this team, but whatever.
Well, I know. It's a road game, but it's also a
5-3. Sorry.
It's a 1:00 Eastern start. So
yeah, it's an early game. It's their only, you know, before debt savings, it's their only super early game. So yeah, let's go with it.
So 5-3. I'm going to have them. I've got them beating the Seahawks because I have them sweeping the Seahawks, and I have them splitting with the Rams. So 7-3.
Yeah. And this is, I had them beating the Rams early. I have them losing this one. So I'm at 6-4 heading into this stretch here.
Now going into that Mexico game on Monday Night Football, I'm very, very intrigued. I also wrote for Sportsbook Wire the preview for the 49ers, and it is incredibly interesting to me in terms of betting odds. They are very, very close to the Rams in terms of odds to win the division. Tipico, which is what we use for USA Today Sports, it has the Rams as +135. You know, what you expect for a Super Bowl champion, and the 49ers are +175. Their win total is set at 9.5. And I find that incredibly interesting because this is a team that is actively moving on from Jimmy Garoppolo to Trey Lance, who is unproven. And Kyle Shanahan's record without Jimmy Garoppolo starting is 8-28. Jimmy Garoppolo has won 31 as the starter. He has started 31 of Kyle Shanahan's 39 regular season wins. That's an absurd thing to do. Like if you look at that statistic, it seems absurd that they would want to move on from him. But then you watch Jimmy play, and you're like, this is why we want to move on from him, because he's not it. The 49ers fans. You can understand. They understand if you watch it. He's just not it. He's a good quarterback that's never going to get you where you want to do. He's going to hold you back. But Trey Lance is not Patrick Mahomes, and Patrick Mahomes was able to, in year two, step in and improve that Chiefs team that had Alex Smith. Jimmy Garoppolo has won 31 games. For the 49ers, I don't understand the... Now, I get in part. The 49ers are a national team in terms of betting. Then, so they will always have extra juice in terms of odds, because nationally, people like them. Or they, even still, dating back to the Steve Young and Joe Montana, they're a national team. But that said, I don't understand why everyone is as bullish on the 49ers if... it is Trey Lance at quarterback. That said, I think that the Cardinals split with them. And in my mind, I think the better loss is in Mexico rather than the season finale. And so if I pick a win here, that means more collapse late. So I'm going to say the 49ers win this game in Mexico.
Yeah, I'm going to take the Cardinals to win this game. I'm not sure about the whole Trey Lance thing. My buddy that covers the Niners, you know, it's interesting to hear what they say and what the opinion is of the people covering the organization, because it just feels like they don't have any there. It's not like overtly confident, right?
No. It's a lot of belief in Kyle Shanahan, who has done absolutely nothing as a coach without Jimmy Garoppolo.
Okay, and sorry, I was looking for exactly what he said, and I said, "What's your opinion on Trey Lance?" And he said, "I think his best case is Donovan McNabb."
Okay.
So I mean,
definitely good.
Is that? But like, how much better is that than Jimmy Garoppolo?
That's the question. That's the question, because they kind of got tired of Donovan McNabb in Philly. The kind of the same thing.
Right, and then it went downhill pretty quick. So, yeah, I have them winning that one. So that puts mine at 7-4.
And, yeah.
So we're both at 7-4.
Both at 7-4.
To their game
against the Chargers. The last game before the bye. The Cardinals played terribly after Thanksgiving. They're going to lose that game to the Chargers.
I think that they're going to win that game. I think that they're going to, I think they're really going to focus on improving those quirky things that they've struggled with.
Okay. So you've got them 8-4. I've got them 7-5. I have them beating the Patriots coming out of the bye to improve to 8-5.
I have them also winning. So moving to 9-4? Yeah, -1 the bye. Yep, 9-4. So I think the Patriots are good. That's going to be a Monday night game again, right? That's Monday night. Yeah, and so it's interesting that they're getting two Monday night games in a 4-week span, basically, or a 3-week span.
Yeah,
but I think that's a game that they should come out and be able to win.
So yeah, so what have you got them now? 9-4.
9-4. Yep.
9-4, and I've got 8-5. There are 4 games left, and I have them going into Denver and beating Russell Wilson.
And I have them losing to Russell Wilson. In that game, that's going to be a tough one. I think the Broncos are going to be good. That has me finishing their AFC West at 2-2. And I think that's reasonable. Or sorry, 1-3. Yeah, that'll be tough. That would be tough to overcome.
I think I have them 3-1 against the
AFC West.
Yeah. But hey, so they go in. Well, yeah. So I have them winning 11 games. That's the long and the short of it. So if I'm breaking it down, I have them losing either to the Broncos or to the Falcons. Now, narrative, it'd be better for them to lose to the Broncos and win their last 3 games, right?
Yeah, I have them.
But I actually have them losing in Atlanta in that game. That's the game they should win that they don't. But I've got them beating Russell Wilson in Denver. I've got them beating Tom Brady on Christmas, losing to the Falcons, and then closing the season with a win over the 49ers. But if you look at then the narrative changes a little bit, because then they close off the year winning 4 out of 5 in my scenario.
Yeah, and I've got them finishing up, you know, on the back half. And I know people say, oh, same old Cardinals. I have them going 2-3, but I look at it like this. I have them beating the Pats and the Bucks, and then after they lose to the Falcons and can't win the division, they kind of no-show against the 49ers in the last game. And I know people will be like, well, they lost the last two. That's going to be awful. You know, 2-3 is not ideal. I get that. But they're like you said earlier, their back half of the schedule is tough. Those last five games, I think beating both the Patriots and Bucks at home says a lot more than possibly losing to the Falcons or the 49ers at the end of the season.
Yeah, absolutely. But in the end, so you have them going 10-7?
It should be 11-6.
Is it 11-6? So we end up at the same place. 11-6. That will likely, like, I don't know if that's guaranteed wild card. It's definitely they're in the playoffs. That might be enough to win the division, depending on how things go with the Rams. But yeah, I don't see why this team couldn't and shouldn't be a double-digit win team again. Unless tragedy happens, they should be between a 9 and a 12 win team. I put out a poll article, and 80% of Cardinals fans who voted, or 80% of fans in general, a little more than 80%, believe this team, it will win at least 9 games this next season.
Yeah, and I'm kind of in the same. I think they're at worst 9-8, barring serious injuries. And I think that they can win 12 games if, you know, things fall their way, especially in the first six, and then they're able to stay healthy on the back end. But, you know, things happen and things swing. And I don't think a 9-win season would be that big of a step back with not having DeAndre Hopkins for 6 games, especially if you win 1 or potentially 2 games in the playoffs then.
Right. You know, as long as they make the postseason and win in the postseason, I think you look at this team as having a successful year.
Right. Well, and that's the thing.
Or at least meeting expectations.
Right. They're living at expectation level. And then if they're able to get, you know, a playoff win, they're improving. And obviously, ideally, they're competing longer, but you know, even if they go 8-9 and make the playoffs and then win a game, like, did they have a worse season than their 11-6 and losing in the playoffs? Like,
right. And it depends on how they do they collapse down the stretch, win a game, or does things go badly in the first six and then they rally to make the playoffs and then win a game?
Right. So that'll be what's interesting for them. But I think they're in a good spot, and I'm excited to kind of see how this season plays out.
Yeah. And I think that will wrap up this edition of the show. I think 11-win team is reasonable expectations for a team that won 11 games last year.
I don't think that they got any worse.
They really didn't.
And I think that their improvements, if and when DeAndre Hopkins comes back, will be noticeable. And that's the thing. They have to be able to go, they have to be in that 2-3 win range at minimum without Hopkins. Cause I think the back half, the last 11 games, you know, if they're even at 2, they can go 7-4 the back half and win 9 games. Like, and I, you know, obviously like them to be at 3 and then win 7 or 8, but like, I think that they can do that.
Absolutely. And with that, we will wrap up episode 357 of the Rise Up Sea Red podcast. We will take a hiatus, at least for the next 2 weeks. Might be a little more than that. We'll probably wait till after right around mini camps, because there's probably not going to be anything of significance over the next couple of weeks. And we have the end of graduation next week for my family, and then I'm going to be out of the country after that. So we will... I might record something with a guest over the next couple of weeks. We'll see. But count on this. We'll be back for mini camp and to start getting ready for things in the off season. Things start slowing down, and then I will also start working on towards the end of June, beginning of July, the opponent preview shows that I love doing. So With that, that's Seth Cox. I'm Jess Root. This is the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Thanks for listening as always. We'll be back again soon.
Thanks for listening to the latest edition of the Rise Up Sea Red Podcast. Listen to previous episodes and subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher Radio, Audioboom, or many other podcast platforms so shows are delivered directly to your mobile device. Please give the show a 5-star rating and always support the sponsors who support the show. We'll be back soon for the best hour of Cardinals talk on the web. Rise up, Red Sea, be Red Sea Red, and of course, Rise Up Sea Red.